the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace.
Father, we do give you thanks, Lord, for your creation and, Lord, for your great love towards us. Thank you, Lord, that you've adopted us into your family. And we just want to give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name. Lord, we do thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be with us. Thank you, Lord, that we can have a vital relationship with you because of your Holy Spirit, because your Holy Spirit dwells with us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take a seat. We're going to continue in our reading this morning. We've got some characters today. So, Heather, would you like to come up and maybe...
I think that one might be on.
Cool. So John 4, 27 to 38. The disciples returned to him and gathered around him in amazement that he would openly break their customs by speaking to this woman. But none of them would ask him what he was looking for or why he was speaking with her. The woman went back to the town, leaving her water pot behind. She stopped men and women on the streets and told them about what had happened. Change the slide while I'm at it. A crowd came out of the city and approached Jesus. During all of this, the disciples were urging Jesus to eat the food they gathered.
I have food to eat that you know nothing about.
Is it possible someone else has brought him food while we were away?
I received my nourishment by serving the will of the Father who sent me and completing his work. You have heard others say, "Be patient. We have 4 more months to wait until the crops are ready for the harvest." I say, take a closer look, and you will see that the fields are ripe and ready for the harvest. The harvester is collecting his pay, harvesting fruit ripe for eternal life. So even now, he and the sower are celebrating their fortune. The saying may be old, but it is true. One person sows and another reaps. I sent you to harvest where you had not labored. Someone else took the time to plant and cultivate, and you feast on the fruit of their labor.
Amen. Thanks, readers. What are we celebrating this week, apart from not being in Auckland? Well, we can celebrate that too as well. Wellingtonians do that most weeks anyway, don't you?
Robin's had a birthday.
It was a big one too. 30. Would you like it? Just touch one. Yeah. Happy birthday. I hear you had a lovely high tea. Yes. Very posh. Anyone else celebrating something this week? Nice big voice, so I'm not sharing the mic.
We weren't here last week, but our kitchen is now functional.
Yay!
It's not 100% finished, but it's functional somewhere.
And why weren't you here last week? There was a wedding, but the kitchen's finished. Yeah. Well, glad that weekend went well for you. Anything else? Cool. A couple of notices, more around dates and impacts of COVID and that sort of thing. So one of the things that happened while I was away was the dates for the referendum conversations were confirmed. What I didn't notice until Tuesday was that clashes with 2 of our weeks of our Knowing the Story series. So we're going to delay that for 3 weeks, just because I don't want to have that going on at the same time those important conversations around the referendum are happening. So the Knowing the Story will still happen, but it's not going to start till the 9th of September and for the following that week and 3 more Wednesdays after that. So sorry about that mishap, but just to clarify, so on the 26th of August, over at St Hilda's will be the conversation around the End of Life Act, and then the 2nd of September will be the cannabis conversation. So both over at St Hilda's, again, assuming we're not going up, we don't go up levels in these next few weeks. And then Meet the Candidates also, which is happening still on the 30th of August, I'm getting all my months mixed up, that's here on the Sunday afternoon, and we just have to make sure, obviously, we're adhering to social distancing requirements and that sort of thing. It's a bit hard when that's a public thing where we don't know how many people will show up. So we may end up doing kind of a split thing where it's live streamed over to St Hilda's or something like that if we get crowds. So that's some shifts in the next few weeks coming up. So Is there anything else that we should be aware of as a family? Any other notices? No, cool. Yes, so those the new dates were in this week's newsletter. Yes, they were. So, yep. So thanks, Roger. So, yes, I'll put them on the Facebook group as well, I think. So, but yeah, we'll continue. That's the wrong slide. Stink. Okay, so I'm going to black that out because that's a few weeks old now. But we are going to have our time of intercession. Obviously, COVID is on our mind much more forefront for all of us again. I think the situation in Beirut is still obviously pretty severe. There's a number of things that I'm sure will be on our minds. So can I encourage you in this next couple of minutes as we sit quietly, pray out loud if you feel led to something is on your heart to bring other people before our God this morning. So let's just take some time to pray together. prayers that have been said out loud and the ones that have been said in our hearts. We commit all of these to you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Roger.
Let's all stand. We're going to sing one more song before Ashani comes to bring us the word. Make me a channel of your peace. Let's all stand.
Is this working? Oh, yes, it is. Okay. All right. So I wanted to start today with a bit of a warning that any message on the topic of difference is likely to cause offense. So I thought we should just start with a deep cleansing breath so that as I speak today, if you find that you are highly offended by what I say on difference, that you will be able to bear through to the end of the message. So one, two, three, together, a deep cleansing Pilates breath. Right, now I think we can get through to the end of the service. So today's message aims to follow on the discussions we had as a community back in November, where we started the exploration on how we can journey together as a community when we hold different views. Different views on the Bible, God, economics, politics, lifestyle, dress sense, the list goes on. Depending on our upbringing and background, we will each bring a perspective on the Bible. And over the last year, we have been reflecting on sitting with difference and what it might take for us to do that well. Many of you have been contemplating, I'm sure, on this over since November, but for me, to be honest, I didn't think too much about it after, with the busyness of Christmas, school holidays, overseas family visiting, starting of school, etc. It was just something that I put on the back burner. And then, of course, lockdown began and our focus and priorities changed. During lockdown, I really appreciated the 9 a.m. morning prayer meetings that Stephen ran and that many of us attended. I found that being more focused on reading the Bible helped during those days of uncertainty. The Bible reading guide I was reading at the time was covering the book of Jonah. I've always liked the book, I've always liked Jonah and tend to identify him as the disgruntled prophet. There have been many times in my life, and I'm sure that you can relate, when I have felt God calling me to do something, and had I been given the option of doing it or sitting inside the belly of a whale surrounded by whale sick for 3 days, that I would have preferred to do the latter. The author of the guide I was using suggested that the book of Jonah was not, the story of Jonah was not a literal story, but was more metaphorical, and that should be a story that we interpret and take life principles from as opposed to a literal story. At the time, I was quite shocked at the suggestion because it had never occurred to me that Jonah wasn't a literal story. Initially, my thought was, what sort of Bible reading guide is this? And to be honest, I'd never actually considered that it might not be possible for a person to be living underwater for 3 days. It was just something I had never considered. In my frame of faith reference, I could see how it is possible for God to keep a human alive underwater in the belly of a whale for 3 days. I mentioned this to Peter, and he said that his perspective was in alignment with the author, that it was not a literal story, and that it was metaphorical. And I thought to myself, I thought you were a Christian. And over those days, I was thinking about, well, what is literal and what is metaphorical for me? And one day I woke up with an image of the passage we have just had read, the image of the lion and the lamb. And the thought came to me, was this even possible? Could this actually be a thing? Was it literal or was it metaphorical? I had always thought of it as metaphorical, but could it be literal? Could a lion and a lamb actually lie down together? How can the hunter and the hunted be at peace? How can differences reside together? And if it was possible for a lion and a lamb to reside together, what conditions would need to exist for this to occur? And how could this apply to us as a community of being in fellowship with one another when being in fellowship with one another's differences, even when we fundamentally disagree on key things. And this concept goes beyond just agreeing to disagree, ignoring the issue. It's about providing safety for one party to not to have to experience the normal of the other when we are together. You see, what I currently see in churches and in different theological perspectives is that we tend, as a Christian church or as a community, we tend to fellowship together in similar ideologies. We like to herd together as groups, be it a lion-style church or a lamb-styled church, whether it be a conservative interpretation or a liberal interpretation of the Bible. We like to kind of hang out with people who kind of think the same as us. It reinforces who we are and it gives us strength. I think of the differences of perhaps a Pentecostal church like Arise or somewhere like the Quakers. And I had to even look up whether are the Quakers Christian at one stage because I didn't know. But they're very different versions of Christianity and different perspectives on the way that God operates in the world. In these scenarios where we herd together, we can be like a herd of lions or a flock of sheep, fellowshipping together with similar ideologies, finding your tribe is the kind of saying in modern day young people speak, agreeing with the basics of the philosophy. There's kind of a set order of the way we do things. There's a following and towing of the line. There's a self-selection that if you don't like what's happening in the community, you move on and find a community that works for you. And each person is to their own. But basically, we kind of think and believe the same kinds of things within our belief system. Within the herd, though, what is tolerated is variation. So differences exist within the community in terms of colour or theology, but basically we are either sheep or we are lions, but we've kind of got a slight version difference. So we might have a black sheep or we might have a different shade of lion mane. So differences exist within the community in terms of colour or theology, but basically we believe the same things. Variation and variety can be tolerated, but not difference. And so in my ponderings during COVID, I thought, is there a third way? Is there a way where the lion and the lamb can be together? Is there a way where a conservative Christian perspective can genuinely be in fellowship with a liberal Christian perspective? Is there a way amongst ourselves, and can we role model to the wider Christian church how to be together in a safe way with difference? And what needs to occur in order for this to happen? And as I reflected, a number of things came up for me. I thought, in order for this to occur, it requires both the lamb and the lion to display certain characteristics above what is natural and established and normal for them. Conditions need to also exist in the environment. In order for difference to exist in harmony and ensure a safe experience. In order for the lion and the lamb to be together, in order for me to be in fellowship with a liberal perspective or for a liberal perspective to be in fellowship with my idiosyncrasies, there needs to be certain things in the environment and required from me and required from those who disagree from me. So, what are those conditions? So, one more page, sorry. Okay, so what's required in the environment? The number one thing in order for the lion and the lamb to live together in harmony is a desire to be together. This is key, because without this, nothing else will work. Do we actually desire to be in fellowship with those we do not like, what we disagree with, whose company and lifestyles are beyond mildly different from our own? Your response may be, yes, I want to be in fellowship with those whose theology and lifestyle is different from me. Or you might think, well, that might have been fun for Jesus, but not for me, thank you very much. Thank you for asking. Do we want to be in fellowship with odd people, those we disagree with, the unpleasant folks of life? Can we treat them with respect and courtesy, even if we disagree with them? A second condition of the environment is safety. Even in a zoo, animals are separated by fences. And initially, as a community of lambs seeking to be in fellowship with a community of lions, may have some safety things around, some fences that we or policies that we have in place to ensure that there is safety until it is safe within the community for everyone to be in community without it being an unsafe environment. Thirdly, a willingness not to have it 100% of their way all of the time. Both parties must be clear on what they are willing to let go of for the greater good while they are together. Be willing to accept that there will always be sermons that you disagree with and sermons that you agree with. In the 26 years I've been at Wellington South Baptist, I've heard some very conservative sermons that I have agreed with and conservative sermons that I have disagreed with. I've heard some very liberal sermons that I have agreed with and some very liberal sermons that I have disagreed with. And a willingness to hold or be in fellowship with those whose theology is different is key. Even if that means I don't sit with the difference, like right up close, I might be willing to be socially distant with them. So sit with the not quite so close, but be willing to be in the same room with them, but maybe their theology sits just a little bit two spaces away from me. A fourth one is the willingness to apologize, reconcile, forgive the unforgivable, repent of my own sin, and be willing to accept that someone may not see their lifestyle or their views as sinful. This is only possible with God's help. Okay, requirements from... So that's what's required in the environment for us to sit together in difference. What is required of the lamb? The lamb generally is perceived as the vulnerable person in the relationship. Requirements from the lamb. The lamb needs to have faith and... the lamb needs to display faith in the lion that it has the ability to control its natural desires and trust that it is safe in the presence of the lion. That is, the ability of the lion not to bite, nibble, and poke. That is, for the vulnerable in our community, we need to have they need to display the faith that those who have been in the community for 26 years won't nibble, poke, and bite. They need to display faith that they are safe in this community. Be aware of how hard it is for the lion to hold back its natural tendencies. And the third one is The lamb needs to display that it wants to be together more than it wants to be alone. Next one is, what is required of the lamb? In this, we might see the perceived stronger person in the relationship, or the more established theology in the community. So what is required for the lamb in order for for us to sit with difference? Firstly, in order for the community to work with difference, this is that the lion must not eat the lamb. This is very important. The lion needs to display self-control, which is one of our fruits of the Spirit. The lion must be satisfied in itself. It must know that it is the powerful person in this relationship. It is the most established way of doing things. It must be satisfied in itself, not hungry, needy, and be in a strong enough emotional state itself so that it does not go seeking to meet its needs by eating the vulnerable. If the lion is hungry, it will naturally want to eat, and it will. If you or I are emotionally needy and looking for satisfaction or emotional comfort in anyone other than God, we will hurt others. It is hard to be willing to serve others and tolerate difference, but I believe that is what God is calling us to do. The lion needs to be able to display self-control of its natural desires and inclinations in the presence of the lamb, and a willingness to do so. The lion needs to be aware of how vulnerable the lamb actually is. And again, just as what number three, what was required of the lamb, the lion needs to want to be in fellowship with difference. Know that it is more powerful than the lamb, even if it doesn't think it is. The ability not to bite, nibble, or poke at one another. You ready for your deep cleansing breath? All right, what is not required for difference to dwell together is that the lamb does not have to approve of the lion's lifestyle and what comes naturally to the lion, the meat-eating lifestyle of the lion. And the lion does not have to become a grass-eating vegetarian. When sitting with difference, we do not need to take on the lifestyle of others or have to necessarily agree with their opinions. Just a willingness to be in the room with it, even if it means in a safe, socially distant way. So that's all good and well, but the challenge is that when there comes to disagreement, most people think that they are the lamb. Most people feel as though they are the weak party in the disagreement. Yet if everyone believes that they are the lamb, how do you know if you are the lion? How do you know if you are the powerful person in this relationship? If you have the perspective that I am the disadvantaged. Often in disagreements, people think that they are the lamb. Everyone feels as though they are weak in the disagreement and need to express themselves in a way that is strong and heard. The question is, are you actually being the lamb? How can you find the lion and the lamb within your own perspective? Can you articulate the other party's perspective with empathy and emotion? Can you understand how they came to their view? Can you and will you put aside your perspective and role model your own perspective's benefits without diminishing the other's possibly painful experience? So how does this work practically? Practically, there needs to be sufficient congregation members with stability and comfortable and certainty in their own lives to be able to hold the uncertainty and variety that difference will inevitably bring. Is a wounded and fatigued church ready to embrace difference? Or are we still needing to be in our little herds and in our little flocks for some time more? Where are you or I sitting inside the belly of a whale? Where are you and I sitting inside the belly of a whale of unforgiveness towards someone? Who am I still mad at? 26 years later, am I still mad at someone? Where am I surrounded by the vomit of resentment that makes it impossible for me ever to be in fellowship with difference? Jonah was inside the whale for 3 days. How many years am I going to stay mad? Mad at them for doing what they did, mad at God. God is the God of the lion-style church. God is the God of the lamb-style church. And in this vision, I think God calls us to consider, can we be a church that welcomes both the lion and the lamb? What is God asking of each of us to let go of in order for us to sit with one another's differences, so that the vision of Isaiah 11, of the child playing with the cobra and all being welcome, becomes a reality for Wellington South Baptist in 2020, not some vision for the church in, 200 years' time. Just as Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, what is Jesus calling you and I to leave behind in order that we are able to sit with the differences of others and move forward to serve our community?
Raised this idea with me back late in the lockdown. It was an image that I hadn't considered as we continue to talk about this question that we have been for the last little while. So it's wonderful to have that unpacked, so I really appreciate that. So we're going to have our reflection time now, and after that we'll go into communion together. But as we do each week, there's obviously these prompts, these questions on the screen. We've got the prayer candles, which I must light, and the prayer wall. Sit with scripture, sit with your thoughts. What's coming up for you? What are you being challenged by? What are you encouraged by through what Ashani has shared? So let's just take that time.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of darkness bright, who will bear my light to them whom shall